विभव स्टडी ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम फोर्थ कैंटो चैप्टर सिक्स लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा पेसिफाइज लॉर्ड शिव. सो जस्ट बिफोर द ब्रेक वी वर रिलिशिंग द beauty of abode of Lord Shiva, Kailash. And Brahmaji heading the demigods while on the way to pacify Lord Shiva, they were relishing the beautiful atmosphere of the Kailash. And now, from here onward, the verse we left under discussion was verse 35. So let's read verse 35 and continue.
Yayo suvistriyaha akshata. अवरो यह स्वाधिष्णयन्तः कीर्णन्ति पुंसः सिञ्चन्तयो विघाय रति कर्षिताः.
ययो मीन्स् on the bank of those rivers are Nanda and Alaknanda river. Surastriyaha, the wives of the demigods. Sura means demigod. Surapati is Indra and Sura means demigod. And Asura, the opposite Asura means demons. So Sura and Asura. Kshata, just we left, Kshata is the name of Indra, his address.
Avaruya swadishriyataha.
Avaruya means in the yoga, 6th chapter of yoga, we have discussed sometimes two words, aruya, avaruya. And also in our devotional service, we have two paths. Is it avaruya path and aruya path, the ascending process and descending process. So here, and Avaruya means riding on. It means climbing up, riding on. And Dishna means their aeroplanes. So here, Avaruya means they are climbing on their aeroplanes. Dishna, the word Dishna here. Dishnettaha. This aeroplane. Srila Prabhupada, some purport is on this word aeroplane, which is in Sanskrit called Viman. And then Srila Prabhupada described, on our planet, we have only experience of the aeroplane made up of the metal and running with machine. But there are planets where the aeroplanes are, they are, because the planets have subtle energies there, so their vimana, actually the word vimana, which means, which having wings, like a bird. So their aeroplanes are beautiful and not running by machine, but by mantras or by different other technologies which are not known to the modern minister. So they were riding on their aeroplane.
They're riding on their aeroplane.
Why? Kiranti, for enjoyment. Kiranti means playing actually. Kids, the word, English word kids coming from the Kiranti. You know, kids means those who play. They think kids. The English word kid is from Kiranti. It's just like they want to play. Playing, kila. The other word for playing is Raman. Like the place where we are living is Raman Leti. Krishna Balaram was playing here. So Raman means actually it is twai. Twai in English is, in Sanskrit is Ramanaka. Ramanaka means twai. So it is like when you want to play with twai, it's called Raman. Raman is playing. And Kiranti is a, I like
Raman is a twice as a play of a child, and Kiridanki is a play of adult. So these wives of the demigods, they want to play sport with in the river with whom? Puncha, their own husbands. Puncha means male, their husband. Sanchintayo. Sanchintayo, Oshra Prabhupada. Or Sinchan, you know, the word is Sinchan. Sinchan means the sprinkling water to the plant. You know, you have this water sprinklers and it's called Sinchan. Sinchan, or the word you will remember, Sharvana Kirtana Jale Sinchana Kare. You remember this verse? Brahmana Varvete Koi Bhagivana Chiva Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bija. Some fortunate get the seed of creeper of devotional service. But when you sow the seed, then how, what you have to water? So that is called Sharvana Kirtana Jale Sinchana Kare. Means how you water that? Sinchan. Sinchan means water. Sprinkling water in a plant. So for devotional creeper, what is this Sinchan? Sharvana Kirtan means hearing and chanting. But here they want to sprinkle water on them. That's one, and one another. We have this pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with a very serious devotee like Sarvam, Bhattacharya and all other senior. They were sprinkling water like a children in a lake in Jagannath Puri when they were taking bath. So even when friends go and take bath in the river, they just put water on water. It's like they used to put their water. The last two words, Vibhaya Rati Karshitaha. Well, Rati word actually in our devotional service, there's a word Rati. Ado Shardha Atha Sadhu Sangaha Bhajana Kriyaha Anartha Nivarti Then Nishta Rati and Asakti. Rati, Asakti, Bhav, Prem. Okay? We know this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rati. Rati in devotional service, Rati means love of God. We want to listen to the Bhagavatam for hours, we are not tired. That's called Rati in Bhagavatam. Rati, there's a person first came to a Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Rati. The Bhagavat Rati means attachment to the Bhagavat, love with Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavatam. Similarly, the originally, materially, word Rati means when boy and girl meet together. For hours they talk and there is no, they don't know what they are talking. So they are attached to one another. So Rati, and so the Rati in a material sense, because the wives of the demigods, they want to enjoy with their husbands. So they come to this beautiful place. And then Prabhupada, purpose is when there is a beautiful place, then people have the mood of enjoyment. And in the material world, the highest enjoyment is Rati. The sexual enjoyment, that's Srila Prabhupada is describing in the purport like that. So, Srila Prabhupada's purport first is one line is most important. See the first para from below, few lines. Say Narayan, can you find out the word Narayan? Narayan. Okay. So, these two rivers. So Nanda and Alaknanda rivers, they are sanctified by the dust of the lotus feet of personality of Godhead. Okay? Just go with the period now. Why they are purified? Because they are connected with God. So the principle is, see the principle. Whenever water or anything in touch with the devotional service to the Supreme Lord is purified and is spiritualized. The rule and regulation of devotional service are based on this principle. This is important. Rules and regulation of devotional service are based on this principle. What principle? Things offered, like we offer the food to the Lord and then become prasad, spiritualized. So we water, we bathe the Lord and the water become charanamrita, purified. So that's the principle. That place becomes immediately pure. Now, what is going on here, if you just think of
10th canto Bhagavatam. Deliverance of Mani Grip and Lal Kuber. You remember? Mani Grip, you don't remember Mani Grip, his names? These are the names of the two sons of Kubera, the trainer of the demigods. What they were doing in the river Alakanda, Mandakini, what they were doing? Playing with the heavenly girls after the liquor with their red eyes. And Narada was upset with them and he cursed them, okay? So what is going on here is something like that. Because demigods' wives come there and they want to enjoy there. He says, so they come with their wives and they enjoy there. Srila Prabhupada writes that enjoyment is temporary. But then they are exhausted, they are all fatigued. And then, so Srila Prabhupada is putting here, first part is principle of devotional service. How something becomes pure? Because it's offered to the Lord, it touches to the Lord. And second part of the purpose, heavenly promised, because of their enjoyment they came there, because it's a beautiful place. So why people go to these such places? To purify themselves. Okay? But there's another word Srila Prabhupada used, word from the previous verse. Can you see the previous verse? Tīratha pāda padāmbhojaha. Srila Prabhupada's purport on the both verses. Can you see this? Nanda ca alak nanda ca sharitau bhāvyataha puraha tīratha pāda padāmbhojaha. Rajasa Ativa Pavane. Ativa Pavane. They become purified. Srila Prabhupada's purpose is not on this verse only. The purpose on the previous word. Prabhupada is thinking of Tirath Pav. You know Tirath Pav? Tirath means place of pilgrimage. It means what is the function of Tirath? To purify. Tirath means to purify. Alright? There are places which are connected with Supreme Lord. And anybody who goes there, he is purified of his sins. So that place is called a holy place, holy river, because it purifies. It says somebody even sees Ganga, he is purified of his sins. What to speak of taking bath? All these places are purified. How they are purified, these places? They are purified because they are connected with Supreme Lord's lotus feet. Now, Srila Prabhupada's purport is saying, because the purification is actually by the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, if we directly worship the Supreme Lord, there is no need to go to all the holy places. So, Srila Prabhupada is quoting Narottam Das Thakur's poetry, why to waste time and travel and go to the holy places for purification? Why not simply take the dust of lotus feet of Lord and stay at one place? Then you become Tirath yourself. And then Srila Prabhupada quoted the part of the verse from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, who said, Tiratha Kurvanti Tirthani. Tiratha Kurvanti Tirthani. It means the places of pilgrimage are purified by holy men. So this refers actually to Vidur. Vidur, this word is used for Vidur and used by Dharmaraj, Yudhishthira. Vidur, you are yourself the person, wherever you go, you purify that place. So sadhus are more powerful than place of pilgrimage. This is the one point, I think, this is the one verse actually, you know, Vidishamrita. If you go and take bath in holy places for many times, then you will purify for the material body. But if you associate with devotees, they will purify not only materially but spiritually they are enlightened. So Srila Prabhupada's mood is, in this verse, because these holy places are so pure, but still so many mundane people are going to have their mundane activities there. Why to go there? Why not to purify oneself by simply taking the shelter of lotus feet of Supreme Lord. And then you become yourself the only place. So this is what another song we sing of Narottamdas Thakur Bhakti Vinod verses, Ganga purify you after taking bath, but by your darshan we are purified. Tava darshan? Ganga are esparashe? Tamara darshan. By Ganga water you take bath, you are purified. But by simply seeing holy men, person is purified. So Srila Prabhupada's purpose is, you see the last part, you go down to Tirumala. So these places become holy. So these two verses have a common purpose actually. But Tirath part is from the previous verse and the other part is from this verse. So Srila Prabhupada is commenting on two verses basically. First is how the things become purified in devotional service when it's connected with the Supreme Path. The principle. Example is prasad is purified. Before it is just food, when it's offered it's purified. Otherwise it is water. When you bathe the Supreme Lord, it becomes Charanamrita. So anything connected to Lord is purified. Therefore, why not to purify ourselves by connecting with Lord? Why to go to the holy places? They are now in a Kali Yuga more worse than this. So Srila Prabhupada is moved and like that. And he's discussing what Tirath path. Tirath means holy place, path means lotus feet. Lotus feet of Supreme Lord is actually holy. He makes everything holy. Next verse number 26. Yasya tata snana vibhrashta. Nava kumkama pinjaram. Vitrasho api pivanti amba. Because these heavenly damsels, they take bath in that Alaknanda river, so the water becomes yellowish. From their body, which is decorated with the kumkum. Kumkum is actually red. But then red and playing and perspiration become more yellowish. The Prabhupada's translated is, after the damsels of the heaven planet baths in the water, it becomes yellowish and fragrant from the kumkum of this body of this. So what is the result of that? The result is the water becomes attractive to the gaja and gaji. Gaja means elephant and gaji means she elephant. So now at that place the elephant come along with the herd of the female elephants. Though they are not thirsty, but still they relish this pregnant water. That's the meaning of this verse. Amba. Ambasa means water. Pivanti means drinking. Vitrasho. Vitrasho means they have no thirst. They are not thirsty, but still they are enjoying that water. So this is simply a translation. Next verse 27. Tarahema Maharatana. Nice, beautiful jewels.
and gold decorate those aeroplanes. And these wives of the demigods, there's a special word used here. Justa means bhakti padavi. Punya jano istriyaha. Punya jano istriyaha means, punya means?
Pious.
Pious. Punya means pious. By the wives of the yakshas, Prabhupada ji, right? Who are yakshas? The followers of the Kubera. Followers of the Kubera is called Yaksha. The one of the name of the Yaksha is Guhyaka. It will come, Guhyaka. So they are beautiful, the Yaksha. Say Punya, they are pious. Now, then there is the allegory. Now, is it is an allegory. Allegory, what you call it? What we call simile, or whatever else word you will use for your exam?
Analogy.
So, analogy here is now the last line is analogy. The aeroplane, then the people in that, and then the ladies. The analogy is the aeroplane is like a sky, the people are like cloud or a sea, and the ladies are like lightning. So, go to the last part of the page and see. These three things. The beautiful damsels, right, of the damsels of the heaven are compared to the lightning. In summation, aeroplane with their passenger which came from the other planets to Kailash were very pleasant to look, okay? Passenger are compared to the cloud, okay? Can you see the analogy? So, the first part is the description of these different type of aeroplanes which are in upper planetary system, in the purple, is it okay? So these demigods saw these aeroplanes and they saw how beautiful they are and who are riding in them, flying in them, they saw all this and the companion is with aeroplane is the sky, the passengers are clouds and the ladies are lightning, okay? Next verse 28.
Hitva
yakshesvara
purim. Vanam saugandhikam chata. Durmahi kam dagdahi hirdyam. Dugdahi hirdyam. Chitram malya. Hello, Chaya.
While traveling, the demigods passed over the forest known as Sovandik. We have discussed Sovandik forest, a fragrant forest with flowers, which is full of varieties of flower, fruits, and desired trees. While passing over forest, they also saw the regions of Yakshesvara. It means near to the Kailash, there is also abode of Yakshesvara. Yaksh means Kubera, Ishvara. So he is the controller of the Yaksha, Yaksha Ishvara. So Yakshesvara means Kubera. Yakshesvara is known as Kubera, okay? Srila Prabhupada's description is very interesting. And there is a Durvahi Kama Dugdahi Hirdyam.
It's
near to it, it's not the same.
Okay.
It should not be that Alka Puri is not one abode of the Kubera. But Kubera's abode is near to the Kailash. That's what it says there. Now, Srila Prabhupada's purport is very fine purport. There are two things there they saw. Number one, they saw Kubera, Yakshesvara, near to the Lord Shiva. And second, they saw desire fulfilling tree, Kama Dugdha trees.
Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's writing, it means Lord Shiva as a material appearance, like because Kuber is next to him. So he has a material appearance. Because Kuber is a big, richest person. He is the treasurer of the demigods. And because Parijat tree is only, we know, in Brahma Sahita, is in Golokdham, Krishna Lok. There the trees are what we call what is the verse?
Kalpa Vrikshaha.
Verses?
Chintamani Parprasad Vasavu Kalpa Vrikshaha.
So Srila Prabhupada writes, because Lord Shiva is dear devotee of Krishna, so his planet is also over Kalpa Vrikshaha. So the devotees also have a appearance, the spiritual appearance of Kalpa Vrikshaha and material appearance of Kubera. So Lord Shiva has these both appearances next to him. And we also know from that old story, as just I told, son of Kubera. There is a Rudra Anuchara, then it is said, the son of Kubera are followers of Lord Shankar. Kubera Anuchara, they follow, so they live nearby. Krishna Prabhupada, two things. We learn here, you go to the second line from below. We learn here that such desire trees are also found in Kailash, the residence of Lord Shiva, by grace of Krishna. It thus appears that Kailash has a special significance. It is almost like residence of Lord Krishna. Okay? Next verse.
Rakta kanta kagani ka. Swara mandita. Shatapadam. Kalahansa kula preshtam. Karadanda jalasyam.
Now there is a description of another beauty there. In that celestial forest, there were many birds whose necks were colored reddish. Rakta means reddish. Kanta means neck. So they were reddish neck. And whose sweet sound mixed with the humming of the bees. The lakes were abundantly decorated with crying swan, as well as strong stemmed lotus flowers. So this is the end of the description here. Srila Prabhupada said the forest is beautiful because there are lakes. So this is the beauty of that place. Kailash and demigod are seen there. Now, verse 30.
Vana kunjala sangrishta Hari chandana vayuna Adi punya jana strinam Mohona matthayan mana.
Vana kunjala, kunjala means elephant. There must be some different. You know, one is called Gaj in Sanskrit, one is called Kunjar. And then there's some other names also. There must be some, like cows, we only call cow. But there's a different varieties of the cows, the different colors and different. The bulls also, different bulls. One which are oxen, they're driving carts, one which are plowing land, one which are breeding. So there is a different science, we don't know much. But the Vedic system is so. So this kunjara, elephant, so vana kunjara sangrishta. When they were rubbing, the elephants were rubbing against Harichandana. Harichandana means the beautiful sandalwood trees.
when they are rubbing to the sandalwood trees, there was a fragrance, vayuna, the air carrying that beautiful aroma. So this is just the beauty of that place. Adi punya janasriyam, and now the same yaksha, the ladies of the those yakshas and demigods, muhu, again they are agitated within their heart because of this very pleasing atmosphere. They are agitated in their mind for more enjoyment. So Prabhupada's purpose is, if there is an atmosphere, is more. Whenever there is a nice atmosphere in the material world, immediately there is awakening of the enjoyment, the mood of the enjoyment. For a materialistic person, Bhaskara Prabhupada immediately says same thing. Now the whole purpose has two parts. One part of the purpose is material world, where the mood, when anything we see beauty, we want to enjoy materially. And the highest limit of material enjoyment is sex. Then Srila Prabhupada, on the other side, the spiritual world has 1,000 times more beautiful ladies. But there is no mood of enjoyment like this. Why? Because they have higher taste. So Prabhupada quotes verse from Bhagavad Gita. Raso vardhan raso apyasya param sesu anani vartan. So there, once a disciple wrote to the Prabhupada, when a disciple wrote to the Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, is there sex in the spiritual world? He said, I am sorry, I am asking you this question. So Srila Prabhupada answered, it is your duty, it's my duty to dispel your doubt. When you ask me this question, I have to answer. Srila Prabhupada said, no, there is no sex in the spiritual world. Then he gave one good example. He said, Lord Vishnu is lying down. Lakshmi is sitting at his feet. He wanted to create. He don't need Lakshmi, he created Brahma. So he don't need physical means to create. Simply seeing one another is more pleasure. Gopis seeing Krishna is giving them pleasure which is not compared in material world. So there is nothing, it is all perverted here. So therefore the words are different. In the spiritual world the word is love. And perverted in this material world the word is kama in Sanskrit. The love and lust. Kama means lust and love means prem. The spiritual world there is a prem, in the material world same thing is lust. So it is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. There is definitely enjoyment which is higher. So the whole purpose is, this atmosphere in materially minded people is for enjoyment. But for sadhus, we can see immediately. Now the couple of verses, this atmosphere is so nice that Lord Shiva is in meditation. It's a people's mind. There was some nice palace-like thing in a desert, in a lonely place. Some dacoits were going from there. They said, this is a nice place to hide. Nobody can find us. Then, some sadhus were going. They said, oh, this is a very nice place because nobody will disturb. Let us sit down and do bhajan. So it is the consciousness of the person which is reflected in certain situations. So same thing, materially people have a material, you know, they have their own way of analyzing the situation, and the spiritual people have a different vision. But this place is a very nice place for that purpose. The dacoits have a different vision. Like moonlight is very nice for the people, they want to enjoy. But the thieves, they don't want moonlight because they cannot go. They only go in dark. Because they dislike moonlight. For them, the dark night is best because they can go and do the stealing business in the dark. So, say people have a different consciousness. So, Prabhupada Prabhupada's purpose is a different material consciousness and spiritual consciousness. Same atmosphere is a different consciousness. cow's udders as the milk inside. But there's a blood also there. So calf is so intelligent, he only takes milk. But there's a buck sitting right on the same udder and sucking the blood. The place is same. The cow's nipple, udder is same. The calf gets the milk, but the buck gets the blood. They're sitting at the same place. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur has two types of people. He said there are swan-like people and there are crow-like people. So same place, crow-like people just go and sit on a dirty things and swan-like people go and sit on a beautiful legs. So in this world there are two types. So same atmosphere, but the mood is different. So the next verse. These are another. Oh, this is the beauty of the lake when they take bath.
Vaido yakatta sopana. Vapya utapalla malini. Raptam hima purushai drishtva.
Hima purushai.
Tat arada dadrishora vatam.
Now they have reached the place where Lord Shiva is sitting. So this is, they also saw that bathing ghats, bathing ghat means, this is bathing is an English word and ghat is a Sanskrit word. They are mixed together. Like you go to the Keshi Ghat in the Yamuna. In Yamuna you go there, it's called Keshi Ghat. Ghat means the stairs are made to go down into the river to take bath. So ghat means a place to take bath. But here we see we made the bathing ghat means, now again see the ghat, actually it's like gate, you know. The gate and ghat is something same. Angrezi is gate. A gateway to the river, you can say, to how to go down in a river. So they make a steps. That's called ghat. But usually ghat is made of a stone. Here we see. But these ghat are made of Vaidurya Mani. Vaidurya Mani is a special type of gem. Isn't it? Ghat is made of gem. Here, Keshi Ghat. You have ever been to Keshi Ghat?
Yes.
You all went there, okay? This what is it made of? Red stone. Just red stone. Okay? But once you know the best, one of the best singer as a minister, one of the associate of great Akbar, Tansin. Tansin was the best singer with the Emperor Akbar. So once he asked, from where you learn your singing? He said, my Guruji, my teacher is in Vrindavan, he's Haridas. He said, I want to hear him. So both came here, king and minister came here. Haridas was sitting on the other side of Yamuna. And he was in his own bhajan, in his own Krishna thought. So king said, Emperor said, you ask him to sing? Now how a disciple can ask the Guru to sing? So this is against the rule, etiquette. Now how can he say no to the king? So he was in a very confused position. So he intelligent, he started singing himself, but in a Ram tune and a Ram meter. So Haridas said, this is Ram dancing. It has to be sung like this. As soon as he started singing, the Yamuna was stopped flowing. The trees started moving. Their leaves still. Birds point. Akbar was completely mystified. What is this? Hey, your singing is nothing in case compared to your teacher. And Tansen said, my dear king, you are right. I am singing for a worldly king. And he is singing for Jagannath, for the Supreme Lord. Well, how can you compare both? I am singing to please you, my king. He is singing to please the Supreme Lord. There is a difference. But then, when Akbar bowed down
See, how can I serve you? I'm emperor, I can help you here. So he said, oh, there's one piece of the Keshi Ghat which is broken, go and repair that. King was really completely, said, this is like a defaming me that I'm emperor, I should just repair the one stone at the bathing staircase. But Tansin told his son, let's go and see. I want, don't you ask me, I can give you I can build for you the palace, but why are you asking me just this? He went there and found, why he got a vision, a spiritual vision. He saw the bathing, his chair was made up of Vaidurya Mani, Chintamani. It's made up of Chintamani. He said, my God, with my whole treasury, I cannot fix it up. So they are not altar stones. We cannot see this. So what I am saying, the Lord Shiva has all these places which are made up of jewels. And then what is next to the jewel? The water was full of lotus flowers. Passing by such lakes, the demigod reached to a place where there was a great banyan tree. Vata Vriksha. You see, Dadrishu Vatam. Vatam is a Vata Vriksha. It's a great banyan tree. Vata Vriksha. So, Vata Vriksha, there are two types of auspicious. In this family, there are two types of trees which are auspicious. One is what is called Peepal. Ashwatthama. What is the verse in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita? Of the trees I am? Ashwatha. That is people. That is actually people. People may Vishnu. That is a different Vishnu. People is a people tree. You understand people tree? Very thin leaves and always shaking. The other of this family is called Vat Vriksha. Which actually here is called? What should the Prabhupada translate what Vriksha is? Banyan tree. It means which have a root hanging down. The tree whose roots are coming down. And such huge trees are there. One huge tree, there are what Vriksha. In Vrindavan also there are what? Vansi what? On other side. Krishna used to play flute. There is Shrangar Vat, where Krishna used to decorate Radharani. And there is another Vat on which Krishna used to play hang from that Vat and climb into the river. What is called that Vat? The other Vat Vriksha. There are four Vat or six Vat in Vriksha. When Sukhdev Goswami was speaking Bhagavad, he was sitting under a banyan tree. There is right now, you go and see, it is huge tree, almost more than this whole VIH area can be covered under that tree. I would say almost 200-300 meters. Big, huge tree. Still, you can go and see that. No, this is not here. This is where Sukhdev Goswami spoke is in a Shukatal on the way to Haridwar. That's called Shukatal. So I'm telling you this because the next verse says the length and breadth of the tree where Lord Shiva is sitting. Okay. Which verse we have?
32.
Okay. So next verse. Read the translation. The banyan tree was 800 miles high and its branches spread over the 600 miles around. The tree cast a fine shade which permanently cooled the temperature, yet there was no noise of the birds. So this is another description which is not of this planet. Kailash and Lord Shiva's planet, where the tree is huge. Our kilometers cannot function there. Like for example, our one day is 12 hours. Okay? But the one day of Indra is equal to over 6 months. This much is a time difference. Like America is it's a 10 hours difference. But the Indra's place is a 6 months difference. So day and night of this world is equal to 1 year. 1 year of this world is equal to 1 day and night there. So since this much is a big time, what type of trees do I expect there? Their life and their size will be different than ours. So this tree is so big and there's no birds on this tree. Every 12, 16, 18 years, the deities of the Jagannath, they change. It's called Nav Kaleva. Nav means new Kaleva means their body. So when they have to look for the trees, and these are new trees, Margus trees, they only have to select the tree in which there is no bird. And they have to find that tree. And the tree must have a stag there, protecting. So they go and look for that tree. So this is the one tree that has no nest, no bird. Why? Because Lord Shiva is sitting and with so many sentry people. So bird don't disturb them. Prabhupada writes, because all trees have nest, and the birds come there. And in the evening, birds always make their noise. So they disturb actually there. So there's no birds in this tree. Like you said here, Govardhan, there is Mansi Ganga. And Sanatana Goswami was doing bhajan there. And mosquitoes were disturbing him. So he was going from there. So Lord Shiva, he said, what is the mantra, what is the temple of Shiva there at Mansi Ganga? Chakleshwar Mahadev. He told, oh, 70%, where are you going? He said, I cannot stay, there are mosquitoes here. He said, don't worry, from today no mosquito will come here. So till now there is no mosquito there. So like that, well, no male can go to Shiva's place not to speak of words. So this is the special category. Now, what they saw, verse 33.
तस्मिन् महायोगमये विमुक्षो शरणे सुरा ददर्शो शिवमासिनं त्यक्तामरशं इवान्तकम्.
So till this time we are hearing the description around the Kailash. Now they have reached exactly to the Lord Shiva's home in one way. He don't have a home. He's sitting under a tree. So one of the name of the Shiva is, remember this name of the Shiva. He's called Aniketa. One of the name of Shiva is Aniketa. Niketa. Niketa means home. Means no. He has no home. He has no home. And Sri Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Aniketa Niketa Bhaktiman Me Priyo Nara. Those who don't build their house, they are dear to me. So Lord Shiva is dear. In other words, he said Lord Shiva is dear to me because he is only Aniketa. He is only Aniketa. Therefore, our Goswamis, they never build a house for them in Durja. There are Aniketa, no house, living under the tree. So that's called Aniketa, means Lord Shiva, another name. So here, Lord Shiva is sitting under the tree. Once Parvati, not Sati, the other wife, afterwards Sati came as a Parvati. She was really very much requesting Lord Shiva to build a house. She was saying, why should we build a house? A beautiful tree, see? So huge. You know, in rainy season there will be problems. No. Rain is coming from the clouds, we'll go above clouds. Rain will come down, it will not come up. No, somehow you have accepted me as wife, you must have a home. It's all right. you are the owner of this material world, governor. You make a house, so they build a nice house. Very nice. Then they invited the sentry people to do the yagya for entering into the house, very grand privilege, entering into the house. When the yagya was over, then the Brahman said, "Hey Shankar, give dakshana." You know, yagya is not complete without giving dakshana. So give something. Shankar said, "I don't have anything. I don't wear even cloth. I don't have bank balance. Don't have money. How can you enter the house without dakshana?" "All right. So I am giving this house in dakshana." So he gave that to build a house back in charity. So, no, so his street don't have a house. So this is Aniketism. That's so great. So it says, Tasmin means under that tree, Mahayoga Maya, having many sages engaged in meditation on the Supreme Mahayoga Maya. There were many sages sitting there. Mimukshu. This is like your name, Mimukshu. Those who are in question. Thomas. This is your name, Mimukshu. Another name for that. Your name's meaning is another. Mumukshu, Jigyasu. Jigyasu means inquestu. Mimukshu means he is interested in liberation from the material miseries. The higher Jigyasu and then Mimukshu. First Jigyasu, then higher is Mimukshu. There are two stages. So there were many people there desiring liberation. Sharane Suraha. Sharane means they have taken shelter. Suraha means many demigods, okay? Dadashu Desa, Shivam Asinam Desa, Shiva sitting there. What is the meaning of Shiva? Auspicious. What Shiva means? Auspicious. Okay? Literally, what Shiva means? Auspicious. Lord Shiva is all auspicious. He is a Param Vaishnava. What he was doing? Tyakta Amarsham. Amarsham means anger. He is peaceful. He was not angry. Everybody thought that his wife is dead. So he must be angry, but he was not angry. Tyakta means giving up. Amarsham means, Marsham means anger. He was not angry. He was very peaceful. And what is the next word? Ivatakam. It's peaceful, like in eternal time. Nashra Prabhupada said, for translation, the demigod saw Lord Shiva sitting under the tree, which was competent to give perfection to mystic yogis and deliver all the people. So tree was so powerful. The place was so powerful. As great as time eternal, Lord Shiva's, this is the one, what is called, comparison of Lord Shiva. That's the word. Comparison to the Lord Shiva is like, he is as grave as time eternal. It's very grave. Sober. Time eternal. He appeared to have given up all anger, so he was just peaceful. So Srila Prabhupada's purpose is on word Mahayogamaya. So the yogis, they meditated on Lord Vishnu, that's what Prabhupada's mood is. All the yogis meditate on Lord Vishnu. And meditation is called, see this is a very interesting purpose. Meditation is called Sumaranam. You find next page, first line. This Vishnu meditation is called, remembering is called Sumaranam. So this meditation is one of the leaves of the devotion, Sumaranam. Who is the Acharya of Sumaranam? Who is the Acharya of Sumaranam? Prahlada. So what he was doing, always speaks on Vishnu. That's Sumaranam. So this is another meaning of this of the yogi samadhi smaran. Thus, there were many devotees engaged in meditation on Lord Vishnu under that banyan tree. Sanskrit word maha is derived from the affix mahat. This affix used here to great number or quantity. So maha yoga indicates there are many great yogis and devotees meditating are found on Lord Vishnu. Generally, such meditators are devotees desires of liberation from material bondage, and they are promoted to the spiritual mode, to one of the Vaikuntha. Liberation means freedom from material bondage or nuisance. The material world, we are suffering life after life because of our bodily identification. Liberation is freedom from the material condition. Anyway, Mahayogi means many. Here Maha means quality, quantity, how many. So that place was beautiful, so many people to sit peacefully and think of Vishnu, and Lord Shiva was sitting there. Next verse. Now reaching to now see the Lord Shiva himself.
Sandaha Sanandanayi Mahasiddhai. Shantai Samshanta Vigram. Upasyamanam Sakhyacha Bhartara Guhyakas Rakshasam.
So Sanandanaira, it means the four Kumaras. Sanat Kumar, Sanatan Kumar, Samyak Kumar. So this first line is four Kumaras were sitting there. Sanandanaira means four Kumaras. Mahasiddha, they are great perfected personalities. The oldest one, first born of the first Brahmaji's mind child, four Kumaras. And because the Kumaras, Brahma said, you create, they said, no, we'll remain celibate. So Brahma became angry. First child, he produced by his all mental power, and all were saying no. So Brahma became angry. And in that anger, Lord Shiva is born, Rudra. So, then Prabhupada writes in Prabhupada, so they have brothers. So they are sitting with him. So Kumara is sitting with Shiva because they are brothers. Because the cause is same for their appearance. Okay? Shantahi, saintly people, saint. Shanta Vikraha, grave and saintly Lord Shiva. Upasyamanam, they were doing, upasana means doing worship. They were praying him. They were praising him. Sakya, friend, by Kubera. The Sakya is a Kubera. And Bharata, by master, Guhyaka, Rakshasam. Guhyaka is a Rakshasam. So Kubera is the master. This is about Kubera. So who was with the Shiva at that time? When the demigod and Brahma reached, Shiva was there. Many people were doing meditation on the tree on their own. But the Kumaras were sitting in front of Lord Shiva. And also sitting was the Kubera. So they were sitting there. And also there was Narada. And Shiva was sitting in a mudra like this and is speaking something as an argument. And his left thigh, his left leg was on the right, over the right. And he tied the left thigh fixed with a knotted cloth. It was a special mudra, they called Veer Mudra. He was sitting in that yoga mudra and talking. So this is the description of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva sat there surrounded by saintly persons like Kubera, the master of the Guhyakas, and the four Kumaras who was already liberated soul. Lord Shiva was grave and saintly.
Srila Prabhupada says, because the Kumaras are born with Shiva Durdyarthe and Kubera. The Kubera, the chain of demigod, is fabulously rich. Thus, Lord Shiva's association with Kumara and Kubera indicate, this is one line you have to write. Lord Shiva's association with Kumara and Kubera signifies his material and spiritual opulence. Kubera is a material opulence and Kumara is spiritual opulence. They are the Jnanis, best known, knowledgeable person or perfect. So this is the 35. This is the, now this verse is describing the qualities of Lord Shiva.
Vidya tapo yoga patham.
Vidya tapo yoga patham.
Astitam tamadhishwaram.
Astitam tamadhishwaram.
Charantam vishwasohardam.
Charantam vishwasohardam.
Vatsalya loka mangalam.
Vatsalya loka mangalam.
These are the beautiful characteristics of Lord Shiva. The demigod saw Lord Shiva situated in his perfection as the master of senses. The meaning master of senses is Adhishwara. Adhishwara. Ishwara means controller. Adhi means of his senses. His control of his senses. Adhishwara means control of his senses. Srila Prabhupada's purpose is like that. His knowledge, what has he is? In perfection as a master of what? Master of senses, master of knowledge, master of fruitive activities, and the path of achieving perfection. He was the friend of the entire world. Charantam Vishwasoyadam. Vishwasoyadam means friend of the well-wisher and friend of the whole world. And by virtue of his full affection for everyone, he was very auspicious. Mangalam, Vatsalya, Loka Mangalam. Vatsalya means like a cow loves the newly born calf. This is the same. If you have, wherever calf goes, cow goes. Wherever devotee goes, Krishna goes. So Krishna is called Bhakta Vatsal. Vats means calf. So here Lord Shiva is called Vatsala Loka Mangalam. He has affection. Vatsala means affection. Like cow is affectionate to the calf. Clean that. It's a principle of Bhagavatam where newly born, a cow gives a birth to calf, and if somebody asks you to bring the cow, you cannot. You just take the cow, the baby, cow will come behind you. So wherever devotee goes, Krishna runs. So we say when Prabhupada went to the west, Lord Jagannath ran all the way from Jagannath Puri to San Francisco. Yeah, this is very natural. He went there and he helped Prabhupada to establish movement. He appeared there on his own. So wherever devotee goes, Lord goes. So Lord Shiva is such a great personality. Lord Shiva is full of wisdom and tapasya. What means astrology? Wisdom means knowledge. Vidya. Vidya is wisdom. Okay? One who knows the modes of work is understood to be situated in the path of devotional service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. One cannot serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead unless one has achieved the full perfection of knowledge in the way and means by performing devotional service. So anyway, this is the general rule. Then Lord Shiva is described here as Adhishwara, which means control of the senses. Okay? Because of all these qualities, Lord Shiva is called Vaishnavanam yatha sambhu. Can you see this in a purport? All right. Lord Shiva, by his action within the material world, teaches all conditioned soul how to engage in devotional service 24 hours a day. Therefore, it is described here as a Loka Mangala. Loka Mangala means giving fortune to the whole world. One devotee is asked, Shiva Prabhupada, we are fortunate, we made you. One Prabhupada answered, I made your fortune. So Lord Shiva made the fortune of the sincere people. Next verse.
Lingam chattakasa bhishtam vasam dandah jatajinam angena sandhaya bharucha chandralekam cha vibhartam.
So he was seated on a deer skin, Jota Anjinam. Anjinam is a deer skin. Okay? Was practicing all form of austerities. Because his body was smeared with ashes, Vasam means ashes. He looked like an evening cloud because his whole body was covered with the ashes, so he's like an evening cloud. On his hair was a sign of half moon, the symbolic representation. Therefore, one name of this Lord Shiva is Chandramoli. Chandra means moon. Chandramoli. Now Srila Prabhupada is writing in this purport, the austerity of Lord Shiva is not that of Vaishnavas. Shiva is certainly number one Vaishnava, but he exhibits features for a particular class of men who cannot follow the Vaishnava principle. What is actually this? Maharaj used to say, Shiva used to be at the Vaishnava club. But when his followers were usually the ghost and Pisacha, then they were wearing this tilak and doing nonsense. So Lord Shiva turned the tilak to tripul. And he is engaging those people who are not ready for Vaishnava thing and keeping them engaged that they should not disturb Vaishnavas. So his tapasya, he's not wearing this nice cloth, but he's putting the ashes. So now, Shri Prabhupada writes, Sevites, the devotees of Lord Shiva, generally dress like Lord Shiva. And sometimes they indulge in smoke and other things which are not like privation. In context, there is another purport in which Shri Prabhupada writes, there was a fight between Lord Vishnu and the Lord Shiva. Lord Vishnu's weapon is called Vishnu Jor. Lord Shiva's weapon is called Shiva Jor. Then Srila Prabhupada writes, this fight between Shiva and Vishnu is still seen in this world as a fight between Vaishnava and Sevaita. Still, they are still fighting. The both followers are fighting. It's going on. Next verse, we have to reach to the verse 41. Tomorrow Brahma watch. Tomorrow Brahma will speak. Only 1.5 page go to page. So tomorrow Brahma will speak something, we'll start by that. Next verse.
Upavishtam dharvamayam Rasyam Brahma Sanatanam నారదాయ పరవోచంతం ప్రచ్ఛతే శ్రుణతాం సదా.
ఉపవిష్ట దర్భం హి వాస్ సిట్టింగ్ ఆన్ ఏ కుష్ గ్రాస్ అండ్ స్ట్రా మ్యాట్రిక్స్ దర్భ దర్భ ఇస్ ఎ టైప్ ఆఫ్ మ్యాట్రిక్స్ యూజువల్ ఇస్ ఇన్ గ్రాస్ మ్యాట్రిక్స్ దర్భ ఇస్ ఎ గ్రాస్ కుష్ గ్రాస్ హి వాస్ సీటెడ్ ఆన్ స్ట్రా మ్యాట్రిక్స్ అండ్ స్పీకింగ్ టు ఆల్ ది ప్రెజెంట్ ఇన్క్లూడింగ్ ది గ్రేట్ సేజ్ నారద to whom he specially spoke about the absolute truth. Brahma Sanatanam. Absolute truth is Brahma Sanatanam. Word in the verse. Brahma Sanatanam. So Srila Prabhupada's purpose is, when Lord Shiva is speaking and Narada is listening, it means the subject is bhakti. The subject is bhakti. So last line, therefore, the supreme subject matter of Vedic knowledge is bhakti or devotional service. Okay? So here are next verse which the Prabhupada will write. Shiva is one of the Vaishnava Acharya. He is a bhakti Acharya. A Rudra Sampradaya. Then maybe next verse. Next verse. Next verse. Oh, this is the position he was sitting. Now, see, this is too detailed of the things, like how Shiva was sitting when he was talking. You may have some photo, like, is there any picture? Brahma is coming there, before Kumara is sitting, Narada is sitting. So this is the pose he is sitting. It's okay? And his left thigh. And you see the Sukadeva Goswami's thigh is different. It is right thigh and the left thigh, right? You can see the difference between the two. See at the front Sukadeva Goswami in the first, this beginning. Just open the book and see Sukadeva Goswami. Yeah, he, the Sukhdev's thigh is different than this, is right? Yes. Sukhdev Goswami is sitting in Padmasana. He is sitting in Padmasana. And Lord Shiva is sitting in a Virasana. Srila Prabhupada writes, in the yoga there are different asanas. So this asana, he is sitting in a Virasana. And people sit in a Padmasana or Sukhasana. Asana is one aspect of the yoga. Perfection asana is not ultimately anything until unless they meditate upon Supreme Lord. So this Prabhupada's purpose is like that. Okay, let's go. His left leg was placed on his right thigh. And his left hand was placed on his left thigh. Like this. Now like this. And this hand is up. And his right hand he held in Rudraksha beads. Beads means like when you chant the beads like this, or the figure is like this. Like, you know, making some point. This sitting posture is called Veenasana. He sat in a Veenasana posture and his finger was in the mode of argument. Tark, what is Tark? Tark Mudra. Oh,
Now let's read the verse.
Kirta Gaurav Dakshane Swayam Pada Padam Chajanuni Bahum Praksho Kekshamalam Asinam Tarka Mudraya.
Tarka means when there is a debate, we give argument. Tarka means argument. So, an argumental mudra. So, Prabhupada, argument, Tarka mudra. Like this. No, this. Now, Shri Prabhupada's purpose. First part is yoga has eight limbs. And first two limbs are yam and nem. You see yam and nem? Anybody know the meaning of yam and nem? Yam and nem. Nem means do, yam means don't. Do and don't. Do, don't. And it's easy for, I think you can understand. Yama means if you do something, you will go to Yamaraj, means don't do. And nem means follow the rules. Yama means don't. And nem means follow the rules. So in yoga, five yam, five things not to do, and five things to do, that's called nema. This is the foundation of yoga. And third is asana. Fourth is pranayama. Asana is to regulate the body. Pranayama is to regulate the breath to control mind. Asana is for body and pranayama is for mind. To focus the mind is pranayama, breath exercise. And asana is that you can sit at least 3 hours in one posture is called asana. You can at least sit 3 hours in one posture. So that is called asana. So asana is to fix the body. Pranayama is to focus the mind. And after that is a pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. So there are 8 limbs. Now then the answer of Prabhupada is 2 words. Shiva is called a Yogeshwar and Krishna is called a Yogeshwar. Can you see the only difference of I and E? And what is the meaning in different words? You can read this purport. Krishna, Shiva is a Yogeshwar. It means he is the master of all yoga. Yoga means the process of yoga, or the type of yoga. But Krishna is Yogeshwar. It means he is the master of all yogis. One is master of yoga, one is master of yogis. Can you understand the meaning? Different than the meaning? Yogeshwar is Ishwar, which means master of the yoga. Krishna is Yogeshwar, which means master of the yogis. Yoga and yogis. Is it different? Is it okay? Lord Shiva is called Nataraj. One of the name of Lord Shiva is Nataraj. Nat means dance. Raj means king. King of dancer. And Lord Krishna is called Natwar. Natwar. Means, what actually means the best. Best of the dancers. And another meaning of what is, Vara means to accept. Like wife accept the husband, that is called, the husband is called a Vara. So Lord Shiva is a Nataraj. But Krishna is not one. Lord Shiva becomes gopi and goes to the rest dance to accept Krishna as a Vara. So Lord Krishna is not one. Shiva is Nataraj and Krishna is Natvar. Means the one, Krishna is one, to whom Lord Shiva wants to enter into the last dance, and the Mahadev become a gopi, Gopeshwar, Mahadev. So this is the difference, Yogi, Yogeshwar, Yogeshwar. Where is the for Yogi, Yogeshwar, for Krishna. Can anybody quote immediately? Yada Yatra Yogeshwarah Krishna Yatra Partho. Okay? No. Okay, this is the only part. This man, typical thing in the part of it. Another significant word is Tarka Mudra. Can you see this? In the purport, another typical word is Tarka Mudra. This indicates the fingers are open and second finger, means index finger, is raised along with the arm to impress the audience with some subject matter. Yeah, this is, you are right. Okay, next verse.
Tam brahma nirvana samadhi vashrita. Vyupashritam prisam yoga lakaksha. Saloka pala munayo. Vyupashritam visam yoga kakshan. Leaning on, vyakshu, leaning on Grisham Lord Shiva is called Grisham, Grisham. Gri is Girija, Parvati. Giri means actually Govardhan, Giri Govardhan. Giri means mountain. Or Girija means one who is born of Himalaya mountain. So Girisha means one who is the husband of Gauri or Parvati. Girisha means Lord Shiva. Girisha Lord Shiva, okay? Yoga Kaksham. This is another question. The left knee firmly fixed with a knotted cloth. I read this much during the break of lunch. Everything was very easy, but this, what this means, I don't really comprehend. What is the knotted cloth? And what the left knee is fixing? I cannot really comprehend what it means. Sometimes it's like that.
to fix this position, I see many people sitting. They put a knotted, you know, like a cloth rope and tie it like this, so this is fixed at one place. Like they have sometimes to keep the head on for the japa, they keep some support here. They want to keep their neck erect, they have to put something here. So these are all different yoga practices. To keep, you know, to keep the neck like this, they put some support here. To keep the head like this, they put some support here. So like this, to keep this left thigh fixed, knotted rope. They have to tie it, that it should not go here and there. So this is a yogic posture. Since we are not practicing yoga, we don't know what it means. But this is something, only one thing, maybe you can refer and find out what it means. And this is called yoga kaksha. Actually, kaksha means class. Normally kaksha means class, but here kaksha means a special posture. Of all these sages and demigods, the last part is sa lokapalaha. Sa means Brahma. Along with lokapala means Indra and others. Munyo, Manuna means all great sages. Adya Manum Pranjaliha Pranyohu. Last two words. Pranjaliha means folded hands. Anjali means, this is called Anjali, hello. Hare Krishna Gopi. This is called Anjali. Pranjali means folded hands. And Pranyohu is a plural. Of course, there are many people offering obeisances. Pranam Pranyohu is a plural. So, Brahma, along with Indra and other demigods and manus and perfected beings, they offered prayer, they offered obeisance to, with folded hands, to Lord Shiva, who was sitting in a yoga kaksha. Is it okay? So, all the saints and demigods, headed by Indra, offered the respect obeisance unto Lord Shiva with folded hands. Lord Shiva was dressed in a saffron garment and observant trance, thus appearing to be the foremost of all sages. Now, I do not find saffron word in the words here and there, but knotted cloth may be saffron cloth. So, what is this? These two things is a knot, you know, fitting in a equation. So, we'll see. Commentary can find out from what is taken from him. Okay? So this first part of the purport is Brahmanand. What is Brahmanand? And Prahlad, what the Prabhupada quote, Prahlad Maharaj extracting what is Brahmanand. When one is completely absorbed in Adhokshaya, and who is beyond, the one Lord who is beyond material perception of senses is called Brahmananda. So this is the definition of Brahmananda. Brahmananda means one who is a fixed on a Supreme Lord. Anyway, then the next part is just Prabhupada's preaching mood. People cannot understand the Supreme Lord. They cannot understand because they are materially contaminated. But Supreme Lord has a form, they don't see this. So why Prabhupada is writing this out? To focus on a point that yogis are meditating on the form of Supreme Lord, not on him personal Brahma. Because people may misconceive Brahmananda as a impersonal meditation. So the whole purport, the whole first paragraph of the purport is the truth. The first line is explanation of Brahmananda. The first part of the purport. The second whole para is to establish Brahmananda doesn't mean impersonal meditation. Is focused on only this point. It's not impersonal meditation, okay? Next part is the yoga kaksha, is another significant word.
And the Prabhupada has put written this line, but I don't really comprehend what it means. Anybody can read and understand what is this? The next pair of two lines. What is the meaning? That's what I can't comprehend what it is. Knotted cloth thy tie is called yogaksha. What is that? Brahmananda is a different thing, but this is yoga kaksha. What is yoga kaksha? I don't understand what exactly this means. Let us do a little more channeling. Next, the Prabhupada is writing the another important word is Manunam Adyam. Manunam Adyam. You see Manunam Adyam? Significant in this. Manu, actually Muni. Manu means philosophers, thinkers. So Lord Shiva is the topmost of the thinkers. But then Srila Prabhupada is very quickly saying he's not a mental speculator. He was thinking of Krishna, he was thinking of God. So they are called the real munis. And then Srila Prabhupada is writing something immediately in a mood of fool. Oh, this Shiva? Yes. Lord Chaitanya appeared at that time, this Shiva appeared as Advaita Acharya. And then Srila Prabhupada's mood is, the purpose of the Shiva is to preach, to bring the, to the people to be free from the misery of the material world. And like Advaita Acharya invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to deliver other people, so Lord Shiva has this big business. And then I think, Rudra Sampradaya is in this purport. Can you see the last part of the purport? Rudra Sampradaya. So Srila Prabhupada is here comparing Lord Shiva to Advaita Acharya. This is the most important and significant purport. And in this position, Srila Prabhupada is saying, he is Acharya. He is Rudra Sampradaya Acharya. Lord Shiva. Okay, the last verse, in one sense, last verse of this section, verse 40, okay? So what they all do there? Let's read the translation. Lord Shiva's lotus feet were worshipped by both demigods and demons. But still, in spite of this exalted position, as soon as he saw that Lord Brahma was there among all other demigods, he immediately stood up and offered him respect by going down and touching his lotus feet, just as Vamandeva offered his respectful obeisance to Kashyap Muni. This is another very interesting verse. Now all the demigods offers respect to the Lord Shiva, they go down. What did Shiva do? He saw Brahma and he stood up immediately and he paid obeisance and touched the feet of Brahma. And then the example is given. Vamandeva touching the feet of Kashyap. Kashyap is a living entity. Vamandeva is Supreme Lord. But now he is father. So as an etiquette he has to give respect. So, Lord Shiva knows I am born of Brahma. Materially he is my father, so I must stand up and give him respect. And then Prabhupada gives the other example. Lord Krishna used to bow down to Yudhishthira Maharaj because he was the elder. So they are just teaching us the lesson that if there is a senior person, then we should give respect to this temple.
So Lord Shiva stood up and gave respect to Brahma.
Though he is higher than Brahma in tattva. Brahma is a jiva tattva, but Shiva is not a jiva tattva.
So Prabhupada's purpose is, I think, focused on these lines.
Uthaya chakre he stood up. Sharsha vivandanam, he bowed down and he praised him.
Aramat takshaya, just like that, okay?
So the Prabhupada just said all these things of that. The last verse of the today's session, okay? All the saints who were sitting with Lord Shiva, such as Narada and others, also offered the respect of obeisance to Lord Brahma. After being so worshipped, Lord Brahma, smiling, began to speak to Lord Shiva. So when Lord Shiva stood, everybody sitting there also stood up. When they all stood up, they offered the respect to the Brahma. But Brahma was their father otherwise. So he is also father of Shiva in that case. And Shiva said a good example. Now the next verse says, then Brahma was smiling. So Prabhupada's purpose is interesting. He said, Brahma knows the Lord Shiva is easily pleased, but he can be easily angry also. Because his wife is just dead. So maybe our mistake can, you know, make him angry. So he was smiling just to make him at ease. Why Brahma was smiling? It's not he was smiling that great person is offering you obeisance. No. He was smiling because of the reason, Prabhupada. Why Brahma was smiling? What is the reason, Prabhupada? So Prabhupada is given reason. Here ends our today's limited work. Thank you very much. Anybody has a question or comment? Yes, Prabhuji, go ahead. This is his special pastime. Because it says in the third canto you have discussed, the evening Rudra takes with him the ghost, anybody who is engaged in sense gratification, he put all those agitating soul in the womb of his lady. So the Shiva has some other part to play also. Maybe this is one of the Rudra's function. He's not one Rudra, there are many Rudra. But Shiva, out of them, Shiva is a different person. Like Bhagavad Acharya. So we have to see the Shiva Tattva. As a Tattva, he is higher than Brahma. But when he is acting as a Rudra, sometimes he is acting as a Kapali, sometimes he is activity which we cannot understand. Therefore, it is said Vaishnava Kriya Mudra Navita. We cannot know what the Vaishnavas are doing. It is beyond our conception of it. We cannot think. Why Shiva is doing there? He's a Vaishnava. How he is doing, we don't know. That's what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told to the Brahman when he came. He said, I accept you, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Supreme Lord Krishna. But this Nityananda, he's wearing silk cloth, he's chewing pan, and he's acting as a sannyasi like sense enjoyed. Mahaprabhu said, even Nityananda has an arm around a prostitute. And another arm, he has a bottle of wine, he is worshipable for me. Then he said, such people, if we find defect, then we will suffer. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them the story of Brahma. When he was running behind his own daughter walk, the son of Marichi, they laughed. And because of their laughing, they become demons. And they become demons at Hiranyakashipu. Then they came as a son of Kansa, calm living. So then he said, we should not offend. We should not never judge the Vaishnava. So we don't know really why Lord Shiva has a permission of doing all this. He may have some higher purpose, which is beyond our concern.
As far as Vaishnava Kriya Rudranam Vidya, you don't know how the Vaishnava appears sometimes. It's okay? Yes, no light, no mic, yes.
Two more questions are there. The thing is that who cannot follow the Vaishnava Panchamrita rituals, things for them, why Lord Shiva want to protect them?
Why does Lord Shiva want to protect? Vaishnava is
not follow. Don't want to follow this.
No problem. Why Krishna is protecting even the demons living in this world? He is father of both. You have not read, just we read the one purport. Lord Shiva is dear to the demigods and demon both. Kashyap is another person who has one wife, Diti. He has all demons and he has otherwise Aditi, which have all demigods. And he has lived with both. So Vaishnavas are they still give mercy to those who are not able to follow. But they give, therefore Vaishnava's behavior is different with different people. Those who are not, but still he has to be merciful of them. This is his mercy. This was recently one of the temple president, and Maharaj has told me, there are people, they may not become devotees in this lifetime, but somehow, if we give them some prasada, a little bit service they do, maybe next life they can get a chance to. So it is better the Vaishnava should always give opportunity to everybody, maybe not in this life, maybe next life. But this is the eternity. Krishna says, everybody is following my path. Some know it, some don't know. Everybody is following my path. But somebody knows and somebody don't know. Those know who are devotees, those who don't know are non-devotees. But Krishna also loves the non-devotees too. He provided them the air, he provided them the food. He's not stopping, he's stopping their maintenance. So Lord Shiva has other kinds of followers also. And he gives them benediction too. Hare Krishna. And the third one is?
The third one is that some temple in Vrindavan, I saw some drugs offered to the Shiva.
What happened?
Drugs.
Drugs?
Yeah.
Sick, that's why he's sick.
Yeah, I saw in near Brahmandaka there is one Shiva temple with 1,000 lingas.
Oh, that is a near Brahmand, after 1 kilometer after Brahmandaka, there is Chintaharan Mahadev.
Chintaharan Mahadev. There yeah. I saw that they have taken one the green color of the sun.
Oh, that is Banga.
Yeah, Banga.
Cannabis.
Something.
Yeah, cannabis they offer to the Lord Shiva, yes. So because his followers, some use that cannabis, so he give them. Not Lord Shiva take that. Prabhupada has a different explanation. Lord Shiva can drink also poison. And he's still alive to save other people. So don't imitate Lord Shiva and you take the bhang. But they offer bhang to Shiva. In some tradition they do offer. Why they offer? Lord Shiva has some followers use that. I know many sadhus, they take that bhang and then sit in meditation by that intoxication. But this is that what Prabhupada said. They don't practice Vaishnava etiquette. But still they are doing some yoga. So they are not Vaishnava, that is the main thing. So Lord Shiva has a pure Vaishnava followers like Narada. He also goes to the Lord Shiva and Narada. And he has also other followers, they come to him and learn from him. Oh, his one follower is Ravana. He's also Lord Shiva's big friend. Shiva is his master. His Banasura is Shiva's another follower. With 100 arms. Shiva has to fight with Krishna for that. So all these are pastimes that is beyond our understanding how they do it. The devotee and Lord has some pastime. It has some very secret meanings we have to be elevated to this stage to understand all these things. Hare Krishna, yes.
Why does it wear saffron?
Why?
Why does it wear saffron? Saffron poses.
Who?
Shiva.
Bhujgur is not wearing any cloth. He's a Bhagavan. He's called Bhagam Bharaya. Bhagam Bharaya means he's wearing actually a skin of a
tiger.
He's a Bhagam Bharaya. This actually cloth is for tying his yoke asana. Saffron cloth he has tied the asana. His asana when he's sitting in a yoga kaksha asana. He's not wearing saffron. Is Vagambara. And Krishna is Pitambara. Ambar means cloth. Vagambara, Pitambara, Nilambara. Balaram means Nilambara. And some sadhus are Digambara. Their cloth is only the direction, means no cloth. They are called Digambara. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada.